Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, this opportunity we have tonight just to come together in your presence. And I ask you, Father, that you would help me, Lord, to say what you'd have me to. I pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear, that we might truly be the leaders, the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' precious name I ask, amen. Amen. Leadership lessons from Esther. It kind of surprised me a little that I was going to teach this, because in the past, I have to tell you that in a lot of ways, I've never really considered Esther to be a great leader. I mean, when I read the book of Esther, I see a very reluctant leader, and I see somebody that wasn't really eager to step up and step forward and be that person. But you know what? There's a whole lot of us that are just like that, isn't there? But when you talk about leadership and making a difference, you talk about how that, you know, today everybody talks about how that leadership is influence. And I don't know that that necessarily defines all that leadership is, but it certainly is a part. And when you look at Esther and her story and what God did in and through her life, she certainly had tremendous influence. She changed the course of a nation. She turned the heart of a godless king. The Lord used her to protect his people. And so in many ways, I got to back up and just say, well, you know what? She really was a great leader, reluctant or not. Maybe she wasn't eager to be that person. And yet she was a tremendous leader, had a tremendous influence and impact on her time and the people of God. The book of Esther is really an amazing story and worth reading. And I encourage you to read the story, even if you've read it before, after this message tonight. I think it would be good if you go back and just read the story again, and you'll see some things, a lot of things that I left out tonight, because I'm not going to read you the story. So I'm going to leave a whole lot of the story out. But I am going to paraphrase the story tonight, because I'm going to take just a few minutes here at the beginning just to paraphrase the story, because I want everybody that's here to be familiar with the story. And I'm not going to take for granted that every one of you knows the story of Esther. So let me just kind of paraphrase, and don't correct me, all right? Because I'm paraphrasing, okay? I'm just kind of throwing it out here. I know I'm skipping tons of stuff because we're not going to be here till 11. We're going to be here till 8:30. Amen. I got two amens on that one. The rest of you, a bunch of doubters. All right. But Esther lived in a time when the Jews had been conquered. God's people had been taken captive by another nation. They were under the rule of a king who didn't believe in the Lord. There were those who opposed the Jews, the people of God, and in fact, they wanted to get rid of them. They managed to get the king to pass a decree to just wipe them all out. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a good time. We think that we've got it rough in our country today, but it's nothing like this. I'm telling you, this was a perilous time, a crisis that was taking place in this nation, and especially for the people of God. Esther was a young woman, a young Jewish woman, who had lost both of her parents, and she was raised by her uncle Mordecai. He was the one who took her in, took care of her. And so here is this young woman in a foreign land under foreign rule, raised by her uncle. Who is she? Well, a lot of people would have said nobody. The king decided to choose a new queen, and so the most beautiful women in the land were gathered together for him to choose his queen. And Esther was one of those. He eventually chose her to be his new queen. Soon after, there were these evil men, as I said, who plotted to get rid of all of the Jewish people, to wipe out the people of God. Now, you know God's not going to let that happen, right? I mean, you got to know that God is always going to take care of his people. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what the plots of evil men are, the plans of God will prevail. And God is always going to take care of his people. You don't need to be afraid. He will raise up, he will call, he will find a way, he'll make a way. It looks like there is no way. God always has a deliverer. He always raises people up. He always does what needs to be done. But he's going to take care of his people. Mordecai sends word to Esther about the plot and what's about to happen. She sends word back. She says, I can't go before the king. If I go before the king, I'll be put to death unless he extends his scepter to me. It would be great risk of my life. Mordecai sends word back again. You got to do it. Don't think that you're going to escape. You have to do it. You have to go before the king. This is the time that God has raised you up for just such a reason. And she says, I'll do it then. If I perish, I perish. And the end of the story there is that she goes before the king, and eventually the king turns it all around where God's people are safe, they are protected, their enemies are instead put to death. It is a great victory. And how did it all happen? Because God raised up an unlikely, just a leader that you would never have picked. Some pretty little Barbie. Who would have thought? And I'm sure that it never crossed her mind. Just think about that. Here she is, this young girl in a foreign land raised by her uncle. I'm sure it never crossed her mind that she would make such a difference. In her wildest imagination, I'm sure that she didn't think that she would have the opportunity to be instrumental in rescuing the people of God. Who knows how the Lord might use you. And so here's the first principle I want to give you tonight. Don't limit your leadership impact. I know there are some people in our world that are so arrogant, and they assume leadership roles and take leadership and try to lord it over others. But what I see also, even more common, is that there are so many who sit back and think that God wouldn't use them, that they are not the one. They weren't born with the leadership skills. You know, they're not the natural born leader, as they say. And so they think that there's not really a time or a place that God is going to use them. But I want to tell you that every person that's willing to be used of God, there's going to come a day, an hour, a time, a situation where God is going to use you to make the difference in somebody's life, where you're going to have the opportunity to turn somebody's eternity. And you might think, no, not me, Pastor. You don't understand where I came from or who I am or what's gone on with me. But I'm telling you that you shouldn't limit what God can do. Been thinking a lot about this the last couple of days. See, we can't do anything. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't limit yourself. You need to remember that it is the Lord that promotes. It's the Lord that raises up and exalts. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, "For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." And it's amazing how God can elevate you. Listen, he can raise you up and put you in just the right place at just the right time. And you might be saying, why am I in this position? Why am I at this job working with these bunch of heathens? I'm just telling you, don't limit your leadership impact. In our nation today, as I said, I don't think that our crisis is anything to compare with what these people faced. I mean, the decree, the law was, is that they were to be exterminated. But God raised somebody up. And I want you to understand the leadership potential. The Lord is able to raise people up and put people in just the right places to change things, to turn things, to make a difference. Throughout this whole crisis, one of the things that's really interesting to me is that even after Esther becomes queen, she never forgets her uncle Mordecai, the one who raised her, this godly man who influenced her to do what was right. And so the second point is listen to godly counsel. Because I'm telling you that without this key principle, you would never have heard the name of Esther. You would never have seen her written about in the Bible. But she listened to godly counsel. And let me tell you something that happens to a lot of people when they find themselves in a position of leadership. Pride gets in. And all of a sudden, they think that they are better than others. Maybe even than those who had raised them and counseled them and helped them along their way. All of a sudden, they're too good to listen anymore. They're headed for a fall. They're headed for trouble. But I'm just telling you, we've talked about this a lot in our series on Sundays right now about wisdom. And I'm just telling you, though, that this is a tremendous leadership principle, is that leaders need to listen to godly counsel. Now notice, it's very important that it's godly counsel, wise counsel. Wise, I'm talking about the wisdom of God when I say that. Wise counsel, so not just anybody. Because listen, one of the things that seems to be a popular trend in Democratic America is the lack of leadership and just saying, well, what do y'all all think? Well, let's just do, okay, well, we'll all just vote on everything. I want you to understand that in the scripture, God raises up a leader and chooses and uses a leader to do what's right. And the people didn't always vote to go that way. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it may not, I know there's a little resistance there. Because we're so indoctrinated with democracy. And I love our country, love our government. But I just want you to understand that God doesn't want a leader to always just take a vote, what do y'all think and what do y'all think. That's why a lot of churches and a lot of times the people of God end up fighting over everything. Who voted for this color carpet anyway? That's what I want to know. I just want you to understand this, that God raises up leaders who will hear from him and do what he says. But sometimes in that process, he uses key people to speak wisdom, to give us godly counsel. When we get to the place where we think that we don't ever need to listen to anybody, we have entered into a place of pride, a place of danger. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. But Esther was willing to listen to her uncle Mordecai even after she became the queen. You realize how easy it would have been for her to think, I'm too big now? I mean, she could have just sent word to Mordecai, hey, you know, thanks for everything, but here's one of the examples of how that she listened. It's Esther 2 and 10. It says, Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. This is one of the times that he told her what to do, and she listened. Are you willing to listen to godly counsel? Absolutely amazes me. Now, please don't think that I think I'm something by saying this. I'm just a pastor. I'm just a pastor. That means I'm an under shepherd that God uses me to pastor people, to help. And sometimes when I'm trying to help people, I'm just telling you, and it's so obvious to me what they need to do, and I tell them, and I don't want you to know, there's a lot of times life's complicated, and I don't tell people what they need to do because I can barely run my own life. I don't know what people need to do a lot of the time, but sometimes, you know what I'm talking about, sometimes it's so plain and so obvious what somebody needs to do, and I tell them, and I say, this is what you need to do, and they don't do it. They refuse to listen to any counsel. Watch yourself when you have the opportunity to lead. When God puts you in a place of leadership, watch yourself that you don't let pride get in and keep you from listening to godly counsel. Next, there are times when we need to keep our mouth shut. Now, this is what Mordecai, we just read it, how that he charged her that she would not reveal her people or her family. Now, I don't know about you, but in some ways, that almost seems wrong to me. But let me just lay it out for you like this. If from the beginning, when they were choosing these beautiful women, she became very verbal about her background to influence and impact, like she can assure you she would have never had the opportunity to influence and impact like she did later. They would have shut her down. In fact, they wouldn't have even considered her queen material. The very reason that the previous queen was gotten rid of is because she was, well, she wouldn't submit. She was disrespectful to the king. They were not going to have a new queen who from the beginning comes in telling how it's going to be. And here's where I'm going with this. If you want to lead people, sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. You can't always go in with both guns blazing and giving your opinion about everything. Let me just tell you, a lot of Christians have lost their influence and credibility because they're so quick to blast everybody with their opinion about everything. Sometimes you need to keep your opinion to yourself and just be quiet. You say, well, I'm against abortion. Well, you don't have to go tell everybody the first day at your job. I know that's an exaggeration, maybe, but I'm just telling you, that doesn't make you any less against abortion. But there's times when you need to keep your mouth shut. You see, one of the things that we talked about some months back that really applies here is that you can't lead people from where you want them to be. You can only lead them from where they are. See, if you're talking to somebody who doesn't even believe in God, you don't need to talk to them about abortion. I shouldn't make a blanket statement. I mean, there might be some situation. But I'm just telling you, you got to reach people where they are. You got to take them from where they are. See, you're going to lead somebody, you take them from where they are, and you lead them a step at a time to where they need to be. And let me tell you, a lot of the time, we're so quick to give our opinion, we don't even know where people are. The Apostle Paul found out where people were. He was careful to understand where they were in religion, where they were in their thought processes. You know, he found out if they were worshiping the unknown God, and so he took them from where they were. You worship this unknown God? I can tell you about the unknown God. And I just want you to understand that sometimes we need to start by just being quiet and listening to people. Find out where they are so you can help them get where they need to be. See, being a leader isn't about going around telling everybody, trying to straighten everybody out. No, being a leader is about helping people. It's about helping people get from where they are to where they need to be. You want to see them get closer to God? Well, you need to be quiet sometimes. Find out where they are. Let me tell you something else. Sometimes we lose credibility. I said that, but I want you to understand that sometimes we need to be quiet and get to know people and let them get to know us so that we gain some credibility and some influence. And then when we begin to talk to them about important issues, they might listen. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." If you want to help people, you got to understand them. You got to be able to understand their situation, what they think, so you can help them. Proverbs 11:12 says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor." Wow, there's a lot of that. "But a man of understanding holds his peace." See, there's just a lot of times that we need to be quiet and just listen to people. And then, at the right time, God will give us the right words. But so often, we're just too quick to give our two cents, and we lose credibility with people. And we alienate people. Listen, when you alienate somebody, you can't influence them. When you alienate people, you can't help them. So be quiet. Just keep your mouth shut sometimes. You got to discern when you need to be quiet. Number four, there are times that we must speak up. Sometimes you got to be quiet. But there comes a time if you're going to lead people, if you're going to influence people, you can't keep being quiet. If people at your job, you've been there 10 years and they don't know you're a Christian, something's wrong. If they don't know that you love Jesus and he's the most important thing in your life, something's wrong. There comes a time when a leader has to speak up. You say, "Well, I'm quiet and I'm shy and that just doesn't come natural to me." Me either. But there comes a time when a leader has to speak up. You can't help anybody if you just watch them go the wrong way and never say anything. No, there comes a time when you got to say something. This is how it went down for Esther. It's chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time is this." And you know, here's an amazing thing, is that he says, God will raise somebody else up. And I'm telling you, there are going to be opportunities for you. But the Lord knows, if there's somebody who would get saved if you talked to them, and you refuse to do it, you refuse to speak up, the Lord will raise somebody else up to speak to that person. See, the Lord knows the heart, and he knows who will accept him and who will believe in him. He knows who will receive him. And he'll find a way, wherever they are, to get somebody there that'll answer the call and do what they're supposed to do. I don't want to miss the opportunities God has for me. And all so often, it happens like this. It's time to say something. It's time for action, and we don't do it. Sometimes you got to be quiet, but there comes a day when it's time to speak up. There comes a time when you have to step up and say what God wants you to and do what God wants you to do. Next, we need to acknowledge our dependency on the Lord. Here's how Esther did that. In verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, it says, "And Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king,' which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." It's always amazing to me. I can't call Esther a great woman of faith. If I perish, I perish. But she calls everybody to a fast. And I think there's another principle here of this unlikely leader now calling all of the people of God to a fast. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. It's kind of strange, but the Lord is never mentioned in the book of Esther. And I don't think there's an actual time when prayer is talked about. But it is very obvious here that she is depending on the Lord when she calls everybody to a time of fasting. Because she knows that without God's help, without God's favor, she won't make it. And you know what? We all, if we want to be leaders to anybody, we need to know that. You see, raising kids is a great challenge. And you need to know, as a Christian mom and dad, that you won't make it without God's help. And sometimes you need to fast. In fact, I just wonder what parenting and raising godly children would look like if more Christians fasted for their kids. I know your flesh is crying out right now saying, "Oh, now that's not of God. We don't need that. It hadn't come to that." Yeah, it's come to that. But I'm just telling you, before we turn to the ways of the world and start looking to the world for answers, maybe we need to do a little fasting. But she made it known. See, it wasn't just that she knew it. She didn't just say to herself, "Well, I'm going to fast." Listen, she said, "Everybody, y'all fast. And I think there's a principle there too, that we need to be willing to give the Lord the glory and acknowledge that it's God, that we can't do it on our own. She said, if I perish, I perish. Some of you worried about saying something about the Lord at your job because you might get fired. You get fired, you get fired. Sometimes you're going to have to speak up. But I'm telling you, if we're going to be used of God, if we're going to influence other people, we need to really depend on the Lord. Times of prayer, times of fasting. You know, Jesus said that before you take the strong man, or before you take a man's good, you first have to bind the strong man. And I'm telling you, a lot of the time when we try to do the Lord's work and we fail to really pray, because listen, when you don't pray, it is as though you're telling God, I got this, I don't need your help. We always need his help, and prayer is how we ask for his help. And so it's important that you always pray in whatever way that God gives you an opportunity to influence somebody else. You pray about that. You depend, you acknowledge your dependency on the Lord. And last, we got to be willing to lay down our lives for others. Let me tell you, you've heard this before. People don't care what you know till they know you care. In fact, the religious attitude that's out there today that's so predominant is just, you people need to straighten up and do what's right, you bunch of sinners. They don't care. No, if we're going to reach them, they have to know that we care. They have to know that we're not just religious people trying to push our religion on them, but that we're people that have the love of God inside of us. We actually care about what happens in their life and when they're hurting. We care about their eternity. And that's why we do what we do. Jesus said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We got to be willing to put ourselves on the back burner. I'm just telling you, if you're really going to lead, it becomes about others. It's not about you. That even though she was queen, realize that. That even though she was queen, it wasn't just about her. She said, if I perish, I perish. She put that in the hands of God. And God is faithful. God will make a way. But we have to be willing to lay down our lives. Jesus said that if we lose our life for his sake, we'll find it. But if we hang on to it, we'll lose it. And I just want to encourage you. Listen, if you want to really reach people, you want to really have an impact, you make yourself the servant, you give of yourself, you let them know that you're there for them, that you're there to help them. I'm telling you, God will use you. He will promote you. He will put you in places. See, if you have that heart, God will give you the opportunity. It may or may not be somebody else's life. And it may, listen, it may or may not be to change the course of a nation. You see, it just took one in this situation, one young lady. And you might think, but that could never be me. It might be. But even if it is just a handful of people that God uses you to turn, oh, what an awesome thing that is. What a difference you make in eternity. And if the Lord tarries, who knows what lives they may touch? You may just be working in the grocery store then God gives you the opportunity to share the Lord with a customer, a coworker. And you have no idea the impact that that may have years down the road. And many, many, many lives be saved. I encourage you tonight, don't be afraid just to lay your life down, to put your life on the line. You know, most of us will say, oh, I would give my life for somebody else, but we won't give an hour. Uh-oh. I just encourage you, be willing, like Esther, to say, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm trusting you that you'll make a way. Well, that's all I had for you tonight. I encourage you to read the story. I tell you what, if you'll read the story, I think God will show you some more things. You'll say, boy, Pastor missed this. This is good. Amen. It's in there. Well, stand with me. I'm going to pray over you and let you go. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have before us. Lord, help us to see. Help us, Lord, to see that for such a time, we're here in this situation. Help us to be aware, Father, whether it's at school, the workplace, at home, in the marketplace, Lord, with the ball team, wherever we are, Lord, that we'll have that awareness that maybe I am here for such a time to make a difference, to impact these lives. Father, use us for your honor and glory, to the saving of many lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.